Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have got a really exciting show for you tonight because I have the fabulous Mitchell Scott Lewis with us. He is an incredible astrologer, so talented. I follow his work. I take time out of my day to make sure I'm always reading his newsletters, checking his website, which, by the way, is jupiterrising.com. Again, if you ever have a problem remembering anything I'm letting you know about Mitch, it's all on my website on knowthename.com under the schedule page. It is right there where you can find it quick and easily in case you're driving or riding something and not being able to connect at this time. Now, Mitchell Scott Lewis has been a professional astrologer in New York City for more than three decades, specializing in financial astrology and medical chart interpretation, as well as relationships, elective astrology, and life direction. Now, throughout the 90s, he worked on the floor of the New York Mercantile Exchange and became well known as an astrological trader and market analyst. Now, since 2011, Mitch has been a regular guest on Coast to Coach, where he discusses the economy, politics, and the future of our society. Now, Mitch works with natal charts, transits, solar arc directions, secondary progressions, and composite charts. As a result, his international astrology clientele include leading financiers, as well as health professionals, renowned entertainment industry figures, and people from all walks of life. Now, he's been quoted on Barron's, the New York Daily News, and many other publications. Now, in Living by Starlight, that's his ongoing monthly newsletter, as well as lectures and numerous appearances on national television and radio shows, he has accurately predicted a number of world events, including the rise of oil prices, the collapse of the housing market, and the 08 stock market crash, which he precisely foretold within days of its occurrence, more than a year in advance. Now, he also correctly predicted the last four presidential elections. He's the author of the Starlight Detective Agency Mystery Series, which are books that highlight protagonist astrologer detective David Lowell and features New York City as a backdrop. Now, these books have developed a cult following among savvy mystery buffs. And by the way, I have purchased his books for friends of mine. I'm not a mystery person, but the ones that are, I've purchased his books and they love them. Okay, so if you're into mystery books, I suggest that you get Mitchell Scott Lewis's books. And Evil in the First House was recently published, and it is a great book. You know, my avid book reader friends just are just waiting with pins and needles for the next book. So welcome, Mitch, to Know the Name, Know the Answers.
Thank you, Norling. Thank you very much. It's great to be back on your show.
So when is the next book coming out? Because my friends that are now reading your books want to know.
Well, that's very sweet. The next book is called Satan in the Second House.
And what's this one about?
It's about Wall Street. David Lowell, our detective, made his money. You know, it's funny because I got tired of poor schnook detectives, Rockford or Magnum. And so I made my detective a very wealthy man. Lives in the upper East Side of Manhattan. He's got a nice big townhouse. He invites me over once in a while. And he made his money doing what I did, which is trading commodities with astrology. And the next book takes place back down on Wall Street. So David Lowell gets to go back to his roots, so to speak, because one of his dear friends gets arrested for murder. And it has a great deal to do most of my books. When I write books, I like to write in the here and now. And so each book takes place within the time that it's being written. For example, the first book, Murder in the 11th House, I think it was published in 2011. And it had a lot to do with the Occupy Wall Street period that was going on then. And now this new book has a lot to do with the growing marijuana business. I'm not going to tell you any more than that because I would like people to be surprised when they read it, of course. But I try and take into account everything that's happening without getting too political because I don't want to either alienate readers or, you know, create any kind of a conflict. I prefer that people enjoy the books. These books are for pleasure. And they also tell you a great deal about astrology. I have a lot of astrologer friends who read them, and they say this is great. I can use these in my classes when I teach astrology.
So what's the name of this one again?
Satan in the second house.
In second house. Okay, I've got friends that are waiting, so I want to let them know what to start looking for.
All right, and it's not out yet, though.
Right. Do you have a guesstimation of when it's coming out?
Oh, my God. It's tough to tell. You know, when you edit a book, you think it's going to take 3 weeks, and then 3 months pass. My goal is by the end of the winter, early spring.
Okay.
And I'll announce it, you know, on the newsletter and on my website and everything else.
Good. Well, I'm getting your newsletter, so then I'll be able to tell them and let them know. Real quickly, before we get into what you're seeing coming forward, I got to see the play Hades last night in New York City.
Good, good. How was it?
You know, not my type of play. Very well done. The storyline isn't for me. Mm-hmm. You know, but I was a drama minor, so I look at the costumes and the lighting and the staging and all of that stuff. And so it was very well done, just not my cup of tea.
Right. I got you.
However, I also saw while I was up here in New York City, the latest show with the Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
And that one, OMG, that could please anybody. That, to me, is what you go to Broadway to see a play for.
Well, I happen to agree with you. I was raised on musicals. When I was a kid, my grandmothers used to take my brother and I to a lot of shows. And while I do like drama, and especially like comedy, if you're going to sit in a Broadway theater, you want to see something spectacular. And in fact, I saw Beautiful last year before it closed, the Carole King musical.
Right.
And I've seen a number of the rock and roll musicals. I mean, that's my music, you know. It's and the Temptations. Wow, I haven't had a chance to see this yet.
Oh, that is so worth it.
Great.
I thought, OMG! First of all, when I stood in line to get in, even though I already had my ticket, mm-hmm. it literally went around the block, down the entire block, and around the block. I mean, it's a huge theater. Every seat was full. You know, and people were nice in line and polite with the other people around, and not too many tried to cut in, you know. And
well, when you're paying that kind of money for a ticket, you have to act like a grown up, I think.
You know? But it was, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in that audience the entire time the production was going on. Nobody unwrapped a candy wrapper. I mean, it was so silent because we were all so enthralled.
Great. Great.
You know, you got to see that one. Okay. Now, we've got so much coming up. It's just like OMG. We've got Pluto returning and the Capricorn alignment, and everybody's getting scared to death with what's coming in 2020. I mean, I have heard people say, oh, we can't even see beyond February. And I thought, yeah, right. Mitchell can. What's wrong with you?
Well, I'm in the middle of a lecture tour. I just did about
okay, keep going. Okay.
So
Mitch, go ahead.
All right. I've just been doing a lecture tour up and down the East Coast. I'm stopped for the holidays. I'm going to start again in January. Connecticut, Boston, Philadelphia, upstate New York, you know, in the city. And it's about that specifically. I call it the survivalist guide to America's Pluto return and the great Capricorn alignment. Basically, I'm dealing with the economy and politics. Obviously, those are the two things that are on most people's minds. And I do a look back historically on the economy because of my years in the commodities exchange and being down on Wall Street for so long. I got a chance to see astrology from a different perspective. I had already been an astrologer for many years when they brought me down to start trading. So I had to learn the commodities business and Wall Street and money and the way it interacts. But I had the astrology background. So I got a chance to see how astrology works on a much bigger scale than many astrologers ever get a chance to. Because I deal with individual clients. I do hundreds of readings a year, and I work with a lot of different individual situations. But here I got a chance to see the societal activity that occurs when an aspect hits. And so now here we are in this tremendous buildup of energy. Saturn is conjuncting Pluto in January at 22 degrees Capricorn, which is called the Aries point. I don't want to get too much into the mathematics of astrology. It would waste time. But this is a major, major event. And while America is going through its Pluto return, this isn't obviously only affecting America. Look at Hong Kong. Look at Brexit. Look at what's happening in Brazil and in Venezuela. And every place you look, the world seems to be teetering at the edge. And in fact, it is. Now, to put it in layman's terms, Pluto, when I do a lot of medical astrology, as you said in the introduction, and in a chart, when you're dealing medical work, the whole chart becomes the body, and different planets rule different parts of the body. Pluto is responsible for the elimination of waste. It rules the colon, the urethra, the sweat glands, even the tear ducts. Any way that the body eliminates waste from it, that's Pluto's domain. And America's going through its Pluto return. So the way I read it is this. America has an infection, if you want to use that kind of terminology. And it was based, they still call it the Great Experiment, because America is a very young country. And it was started under beliefs that had been experimented with in ancient Greece and in some other cultures, but it had never been done on the scale that America has tried to do it. And of course, we were born in conflict under revolution, and we have had an internal conflict in many ways ever since. Now we're at a point where whatever has not been cleaned out from our collective is coming to the surface. And you can call it racism or sexism or poor distribution of wealth, the fact that there are so many poor people when there is so much money. And what this period of time is doing is forcing our collective to look at it and to make some choices. Now, again, I don't want to get political. I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, if you're right-wing, if you're left-wing, if you're whatever it is. All of this has to come out. It has to be dealt with, or America's not going to continue to grow. And that's where I see the positiveness of what's going on. And again, it's not just here, it's throughout the world, because Saturn is conjuncting Pluto. When I recently did an article for one of the organizations, the NCGR, no, actually this was for Dell Horoscope magazine, where I looked back on all the Pluto-Saturn conjuncts that occurred. And just to give you a few examples, the First World War started under that conjunct, the Second World War, the Vietnamese War, even Mao taking over China and defeating Chiang Kai-shek, even the Falkland Islands, which was not much of a war, but it could have escalated. Right. And every time we have a Saturn-Pluto conjunct, we have the potential. And I always use that term with astrology. It doesn't mean that because something happened last time, the same thing's going to happen this time. But we have the potential for armed conflict. Now, look what's happening. Hong Kong is exploding. We're actually relatively, at the moment, the world, except for Hong Kong, is relatively calm in terms of conflicts, armed conflicts. So I am guardedly optimistic that we'll go through this period without some sort of a problem. My bigger concern, quite frankly, is the divide in America. Could this possibly turn violent? Is there a chance that we have grown so far apart, like a married couple who can no longer sit across from each other at the kitchen table without screaming? And if that's the case, what will the end result be? Are we going to have some sort of a conflict in America? Are we going to actually make it? Now, you know, there's so much gun violence that, I mean, there always has been. America, you know, was based on the cowboy and the Wild West and whatnot. But now it's gotten to a point of ridiculousness. Every couple of days, we're seeing another attack, another, you know, violent conflict within the population. This is not one army fighting another. This is people going down to the mall or going to a concert or doing whatever they're doing. And the pent-up anger that people are feeling is coming out both as individuals and in the collective. The impeachment is very much a sign of this buildup of energy, whatever the end result will be.
You know, Billy Myers in 1953 said that the United States around this time period would be going into our next civil war within ourselves. And with that, we're just going to cut to a commercial break. Our commercials, as you guys know, is really, really short. It's a minute and 30 seconds. So hang on and stay tuned.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com. How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us.
Know the name, know the answers. We've been having a little bit of computer glitches and problems, so that's why you heard the commercial twice. Please have patience with us. And we are starting with our call-ins. Our first call-in, I want to honor the fact that you get your privacy, so I don't want to say your name in case there's somebody out there that's lurking that wants to use your birthday and your name to just do something not appropriate with it. So I'm going to say birthdays instead. And Mitch, our first person is May 29th, 1950, and from Oregon, but we don't know where she was born.
Okay. All right. Well, if we don't know the birth time, it doesn't matter where they're born. That's okay. to specify longitude and latitude. And by the way, just a quick little note for you guys. Mercury is in square to Neptune tonight. And that's why you're having the problems you're having.
Okay, at least I'm glad there's an answer in the sky.
Well, there's always an answer. And you know, to put it in perspective, Donald Trump has Mercury square Neptune in his natal chart.
So that's why he's in problems right now.
Well, yes, but also it's the problem he has with truth versus fantasy. You know, again, I'm not trying to be political here. I'm only looking at the astrology itself. So,
Hold on. I got all five. Keep going, Mitch. Don, people can't hear Don.
Okay.
When he does that. Keep going.
So, all right. So we have this person up on May 29th, 1950. Right?
What's going on with her?
Well, let's take a quick look. Is the person on the line? Will I talk to her or no?
If we can get this working, we can, but if not.
All right. Okay. Well, this person is.
No, it's not Susan. It's birthday May 29, 1950, line 5. But we did want to put names online. Yeah.
I am.
Okay. All right. Hi, Karen. It's Mitch.
Hi, Mitch.
I don't know how much you know about astrology, so I don't want to either lose you in the astrologies or speak too superficially about it. But you know you're a Gemini, of course. And your moon is in Scorpio, and your moon is in almost exact opposition to Mercury, and it squares Pluto. That's what we call a T-square. It's quite a powerful aspect in your natal chart. Has a lot to do with your emotions and your intellect. They are connected. While some people have the ability to separate those two, they can think things out or feel them. The Scorpio moon tends to feel things rather intensely, and with it in square to Pluto, that even amplifies it more. So let's take a look at what's happening with you very quickly. If you have a specific question, I'm happy to listen to it. Is there something in particular?
Basically, say it again, Karen.
Basically my health.
Okay. Well, in general, you probably have some problems or have had some problems with your digestion through the years. And this has to do with the immune system as well. There's only so much we can do in a few minutes, of course, Karen. You know, I'm not going to try and solve all of your problems in a 10-minute call-in. But you're unbalanced. And that's where your basic issues have to do with. You need to learn to balance your chi, as they say, a little bit better. And this can manifest a number of ways. Like I said, it looks to me like it has to do with the digestion, but without a birth time, I can be much more specific. It also may have a little bit to do with your circulation. But primarily, this is a matter of balancing your body. And you do that through diet more than anything else. There could be allergic reactions. There could be a lack of something as simple as a trace mineral in the body. I recently worked with somebody who was having terrible problems for quite a number of years and had been to a dozen different doctors, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And I took a look at the chart, and I said, well, for one thing, they put you on antibiotics for a long time. And she said, yes, that's true. I said, well, that damaged your immune system. I said, and I'm going to tell you, I think you have food allergies. And she said, well, I've been to a dozen doctors. They've never brought it up. I said to her, do yourself a favor. For the few dollars it's going to cost, go and get yourself tested for food allergies. She writes me back and she says to me, I live on dairy and eggs, and I'm allergic to dairy and eggs. And that's why she has not been able to digest food for the longest time, terrible migraine headaches, a real breakdown in the immune system. Now, I believe the antibiotics created it. But what ultimately happened was the liver stopped functioning properly. And that's where her issues were. Now, I think we can solve them.
And so my goal, you think Karen has a similar issue, Mitch?
I think that Karen has a little problem with the immune system, yes. Karen, it's up to you what you want to talk about on the air. Obviously, this is a public place, and you may not feel comfortable discussing certain things, which is fine. And you can always contact me on the side anyway. MitchAstro@AOL is my email, and my website is Jupiter Rising or MitchAstro.com. But if you'd like to get a little more specific, I'll be happy to take a look at that all and give you my interpretation. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's basically the digestion thing that's going on, you know. So, and I am very, very sensitive to a lot of different foods and stuff. So,
right,
you know, I feel everything in my gut. So,
right. Well, that's exactly why that jumped out at me immediately. When I do a medical read, of course, I'll spend an hour on the person's chart and pick apart everything, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes you can grab it immediately. There's a lot of pressure on your digestion, and it has to do with a number of things. One is nerves. Meditation would certainly help you. If you do it, great. If you don't, I would suggest considering it. And while people think that they're eating a good diet because they eat what, you know, whatever, what their parents told them was good or the doctors told them is good or whatever, doesn't necessarily work. First of all, in America, you have to be very careful with the food supply. It's very tainted. There are more chemicals in the food in America than Europeans. I have a lot of European clients, and I say to them, do you eat organic food? And they laugh at me. They say, we don't put the stuff in our food that you people do, you know. And so you have to be careful what you're digesting. And again, like I said before, you may have some food allergies. That wouldn't surprise me with the kind of situation that I see in your chart. And it wouldn't, it would probably be, you know, if you have health insurance, Medicare, or whatever, it would probably behoove you to go and get some tests and see if there's something you're allergic to. I also suggest with your situation that you try getting on probiotics, and they have to be refrigerated. There's a lot of crap out there that's not very good. But there's a company I use for many years called Natren, N-A-T-R-E-N. They have wonderful products. That might help settle your stomach down. And redesigning your diet. It's tough. We're all the same, honey. We're all the same. We get stuck in habits. It's very difficult to break those habits. Sometimes, you know, you're so used to eating certain things that what happens is the body starts to respond to it. For example, in the West, many people have a wheat allergy because we eat it all day long. And in Asia, many people have a rice allergy. They eat that all day long. After a while, the body can no longer assimilate it. And as you're putting that piece of bread into your mouth or you're eating pasta, the body is already responding to it. And it's rebelling against it, and it's treating it like it's an allergy. And then you get secondary issues. You could have skin rashes. You could have tiredness, sometimes lethargy, or even a little sense of depression. I don't want to use that term lightly because most people are bummed out periodically. That's not the same thing as being clinically depressed. But if you readjusted your diet and you worked a little bit on it and started to remove some of the things, for example, dairy. I love cheese. I've always loved cheese. And I got a rash many years ago in the middle of the summer, and the doctors didn't know what it was. And it turned out that I had a candida overgrowth, a yeast overgrowth in my intestines, and I had to drop dairy and wheat and sugar and all fermented things, and I added probiotics. And after having this rash for 8-9 months, as I adjusted my diet, it went away. And my digestion has been infinitely better ever since. So, you know, and I was eating what everybody considers a good diet. I didn't eat a lot of garbage. I didn't eat, you know, McDonald's. I didn't eat a lot of fast foods. It didn't matter. I was still allergic to certain things, and I had to readjust the diet. And that was affecting my immune system, which is why the rash was breaking out. I could not prevent it. And when I finally cleaned out the gut with the probiotics, and I started eating mostly fruits and vegetables. Oh, I haven't eaten meat in many years. That's just a choice I made. I don't care whether people do or they don't. But you have to be careful what you're digesting because, you know, if you look at on YouTube, they have these videos where they will soak what they call conventional fruits and vegetables overnight in a solution. And in the morning, the water's black. because there's 20 different chemicals that are being sprayed on the food that we're eating. And you may not even realize it. You might be eating a lot of broccoli because you're told it's good for you, but you're eating broccoli that has been sprayed with chemicals that your body can't handle. And as we get older, we have to be really careful. We have to adjust to the aging process. You only have two choices in life. Either you're going to get older or you're going to get old. Nobody's getting younger. And I am a firm believer that there is no reason to ever get old. I mean, I have my mother's 94. We just extended the lease on her car. You know, people are living a long, long time today. And as long as they take care of themselves, as long as I'm healthy and I feel good about life, I want to be here. First of all, there's a lot of people I still want to annoy, and I can really get at them. But also, I like life, but I don't like feeling sick. And when I went through that period, it was a period ultimately of over a year, maybe a year and a half, where I really had broken down my digestive tract so badly that I was not enjoying life. I couldn't enjoy my food anymore. Almost everything made me sick. I was drinking orange juice. I have Mars in Cancer. I can't drink orange juice. Worst thing in the world for me. It's too acidic. Dropped it from my diet once I understood what it was. Same thing with sugars and with dairy. Dairy in particular. After the age of 10, dairy is really not good for you. It's also an inflammatory. It will exacerbate arthritis. And again, skin issues very much. I know people have skin rashes and the skin doctors don't know what to do. They can't get rid of it because it's not on the surface, it's in the body. So by readjusting the diet and by changing the way that you look at food and when you eat it, I don't eat before I go to sleep anymore. Once in a while, I'm out, you know, doing a lecture or something, I might do that. But I eat early, and then I have, you know, I might have a little snack, fruit or something later in the evening, and then I go to sleep, and my digestion is so much better than it's ever been. So that's just a few quick suggestions for you, Karen. We can't go over everything in a 10-minute read. If you're interested in reaching out to me, please feel free to. And, you know, we can discuss this further and whatnot.
Okay, and you can reach Mitch again at MitchAstro@AOL.com and on his website, JupiterRising.com. And, Mitch, we're going to have to contain it a little bit more and able to get through our call-ins. I have emailed you everybody's birthday information if you want to grab that email, because then I can call people by their name. Don, we're going to go to line four. We're going to go to line four. And everybody, thank you for holding on. We're going to do our best to get to each of you while we're here. So, Mitch, are you able to get that email?
I'm looking at it now, but I can only punch up each chart individually, so it's going to take me a few seconds. I have Alan. Line? I don't know.
No, we're going to Susan. We're going to Susan on line four. We're going to Susan next, because Susan is next on my list. She's on line four. So, Susan, welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. And, Susan, Hi. Do you have a specific question for Mitch?
My question was on health as well. About 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with spinal stenosis, and I'm just wondering how that might affect as I grow shorter.
No, I get it. I've been dealing with that actually with a few people lately. Let's take a quick look.
I do have a time of birth if you need that.
All right, hold on one second. What is your time of birth?
3:47 a.m.
3:47 a.m. And where?
Gardner, Kansas.
Gardner, Kansas. Okay. Let's take a look. That gives you a cancer.
The other thing that I've been experimenting with in the last year was getting away from gluten. And I have found that life has gotten better away from gluten, so I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Absolutely. Well, Karen, Susan, I can't tell you how many of us have food allergies, and they're never diagnosed. And I believe in a mixture of Western and Eastern medicine. I go for a physical every year, but if the doctor finds something, I then decide how I want to deal with it. And unfortunately, only now is the AMA starting to get hip to nutrition. And they're finally starting to teach some classes in medical school. But most doctors, they don't even think that way. And that's when food will either make you sick or heal you. But anyway, let's take a look. You have, you're a new moon baby. You're born in Leo. The moon is in Leo. And you have Pluto in between the sun and the moon. Besides other things, that speaks rather strongly about your parents' relationship. I don't know how much you want to get into any of that. And I don't have to do a psychological read on you in a few minutes on the radio. But
that'd be fun.
Well, we could do it some other time if you want to contact me. You know, we can talk. But you do, you know, the spine is ruled by Saturn. And you have Saturn conjunct Neptune. Now, this is an interesting configuration, Susan. First of all, Neptune rules our fantasies and our illusions and in life. And Saturn is a very, very realistic, it's the most realistic of all energies. It's where the ancients got the name Satan. Because astrologers in the Middle Ages said, oh, here comes that planet, we'll call it Satan, because every time it comes along, the king dies, the crops fail, you know, whatever. Now, we don't look at Saturn that way any longer. We know it is not the devil. It's really there to help us build a good, strong foundation. But because it is the foundation in the body, it rules everything that is your foundation, your bones, your back, your knees, your teeth, the skin that holds you together. And because it's conjunct Neptune in your chart, Neptune is also the planet of illusion. And it breaks down all reality. If you know any Pisces, I love Pisces. My brother's a Pisces and many, many Pisces friends. They're wonderful, delightful, terrific, sensitive people. They're not always the most realistic people on the planet. And when you have Neptune conjunct Saturn, what happens is your Saturn within your body, within your chart, and within your life too. This can manifest a number of different ways too, financially and everything else. I have some clients who are immensely wealthy, hugely wealthy, have this configuration because the Saturn forces them to create a reality and a structure around their fantasies, the Neptune. Now, that doesn't always work that way for everybody. Sometimes people have the opposite effect. The Neptune will dissolve the Saturn. But this is where your problem, the spinal stenosis, is coming from in the natal chart. How well you're dealing with it and what kind of healing you're doing for it. For one thing, I never tell people what they should or shouldn't do. I give them my suggestions. I'm not a doctor. I work with doctors and acupuncturists and therapists all the time. I have some very, very smart medical people that I talk to. If I have a problem and I'm not seeing it clearly, I might discuss it with them because all I care about is getting the information. I don't care about being right. As I said recently in an interview, I said to the woman, I'm not God. He calls me occasionally for a reading, but it's very tough to get him to make the PayPal payment. I tell you, I'm waiting and waiting.
So any suggestions for Susan on what her next steps would be to make sure that she stays healthy? Or is there anything that's in her chart that says, oh, you got to watch out for this date or this month? Or
well, again, I don't want to get too heavy in this kind of a format. If we're doing a full reading, well, then you expect me to talk more deeply and to really dig in. But I will tell you this, Susan. We talked earlier about the Pluto-Saturn conjunct and this big buildup of energy in Capricorn that's happening. That energy is affecting your chart. You're going through your Saturn square Saturn, and Pluto is also squaring Saturn and Neptune. And they are in opposition to Uranus in your chart. Now, this is a roundabout way of saying you do need to be careful. You know that. I don't think you need an astrologer to tell you that you're going through some physical problems. We understand that. My advice to you, and in a very broad answer, okay, not getting specific about you should do this or this or this or this, because I'd have to talk to you about all of the medications that you're on and how you're handling it and things like that. But this is a period of time when you, first of all, you need to take a deep breath. Now, forgive me for seeming mundane, but sometimes we forget. And I get emails from people who say, I'm so upset. This is happening. My mother's sick, or I lost my money, or whatever. My husband left me, my wife this, whatever it is. And I write back to them. I say, remember to breathe. And almost always they send me back a quick note and saying, thank you. Because we forget. We need to relax. And, there's an old saying in the meditation business. If you're too busy to meditate, you're too busy. You have to find time to allow your body to unwind. Now, the Pluto and Saturn that you're under right now is unquestionably adding some extra pressure to you. So don't beat yourself up if you're not feeling 100%. As I like to say, don't beat yourself up. The world will be happy to do it for you. You are going through a period where a lot of issues are coming to the surface. You're feeling pressure. That's the exact word that I would use. I am also getting hit by that Saturn-Pluto conjunct very severely in my chart. I'm not going to go into my chart too much right now, but I'm conscious of it. I'm trying very hard to avoid any conflicts. I also know that I have some issues in my life that are demanding my time, and I'm extremely busy, and I'm working harder than I've worked in years, which is not a bad thing. But I also see the pressure and the conflicts that it's bringing up. And I think that some of your issues have more to do with your psychological well-being. This does not mean that you're making up the ailment. Don't confuse the two. I'm not saying this is hypochondria or psychosomatic. These are real issues. But if you allow yourself to go, oh my God, woe is me, I'm so sad, I can't do... Well, then that's how you're going to respond to it all. If you can figure out a way to take a deep breath and say, okay, this is what I'm going through. I have got to deal with it. Now, what can I do realistically to deal with it? How can I change my diet? What do I do about exercise? What about people in my life who are very toxic? We don't realize how much we take in. You can have somebody in your life, and it could be somebody you love dearly. It could be a family member, or who knows? A dear friend, but if you were to step back a little bit, you might realize, oh my God, every time I'm with that person, I feel horrible. Well, let's discuss that. Let's see what we can do. How can I keep a distance without throwing them out of your life? And how can I keep a distance to protect myself? And if you're getting involved in situations where there is a great deal of power struggles, that's what Pluto and Saturn is all about, is power struggles. As I said earlier in the interview, what's going on in Hong Kong and in our country and the split, you know, we feel like we're in a civil war already because half the country won't talk to the other half. These are real legitimate issues. And I'll tell you something, that's weighing very heavy on a lot of Americans. We get up in the morning and we go, oh my God, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I can't watch television. Every time I want to watch The Price is Right, they're interrupting it for politics or for something else. And it's starting to weigh heavily. And people are very scared and they're very upset and they're angry at their neighbors and their friends. And you can't go to Thanksgiving dinner without getting into a political fight. And all of that is starting to add to a lot of the issues that some of us are going through. And it's affecting us physically. So again, Susan, I can't in 10 minutes tell you this is what you can do to fix it, but I have found that almost every issue is fixable. Obviously, at some point, something's going to get us. Maybe the M15 bus will turn too quickly and I'll get it right on 57th Street. I don't know. But you don't think that way. You think about how can I use my time and my energy to the fullest, to help others, to leave a legacy behind, to do the best I can do for my children and my parents and my dear friends and my spouse and the people that I love. And so I just feel that you're under a great deal of pressure right now. The good news is that some of this pressure is on its way out. The Pluto will still be in square to your Saturn for another year, but the Saturn energy that we're dealing with, that will start to fade by February. Now, that doesn't mean February 1st, you snap your fingers and everything is honky-dory. It doesn't work that way. But it does mean that maybe the worst is over and that if you can fix it, because things don't disappear by themselves. just because, you know, a transit passes doesn't mean that the illness or the problem or the hassle in a relationship suddenly disappears. But it does mean that you may have a better handle on how to fix it. So I'm optimistic that maybe some of the worst is over. Obviously, your health issues that you described, they're not going to suddenly go away. You have to deal with them. But there are different ways to deal with it. And I, like I said, I believe in a combination of Western and Eastern philosophy. I'm not a big fan of Western medicine, but sometimes if I get a terrible infection, I had a strep throat. 2 years ago, I was going to the United Astrologers Conference, biggest to-do for astrologers. I couldn't swallow. For 3 days, I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. So I called up my nurse practitioner, and I said, I want a Z-Pack. Give me 5 days of an antibiotic. And I took it. And then I doused myself with probiotics to replenish the digestion. And it cured it. So, I don't believe in being stupid about it. If something's wrong with you and they can fix it, let them fix it. But it's the philosophy about how to go about fixing it. That's the problem I have with some Western medicine. They're not, they have blinders on. They only know what to do. Antibiotics or cortisone or a few other things when really the answer might have more to do with how you're dealing with your body, whether it's the digestion, are you exercising enough, are you sleeping enough? As we get older, we need more sleep. I have no problem with that. If I sleep enough, I'm the Energizer Bunny for 12 hours. But then I need 8-9 hours of sleep, and I make sure I get it. Anyway, dear, go ahead.
So thank you, Susan, for calling in. And speaking of age enough, we're going to have to do it a little bit quicker, Mitch, or a little bit less info so that we can get through some more of that's
online. No, I know. It's tough.
I know you're wonderful.
Next?
I know you're wonderful.
Well, so, I don't want to leave it half, hanging, but obviously we have to. Okay.
Right. Who's next? We've got Gloria. Next. Thank you for your patience. Gloria, you're on the line.
Thank you for taking my call. And Mitch, my birth time is 8:46 a.m. Seattle, Washington.
Hold on, Gloria. I gotta. It takes me a second with the computer. Gloria, I have you at 3:21:46. And what's the time?
8:46
a.m.
A.m. in where? Seattle.
Seattle.
Okay. Okay. Good. All right. Thank God for computers.
Yeah,
I used to have to draw every chart out with a slide ruler. Anyway, go ahead.
So what's your question for you, Gloria?
Okay, I just had a book published on Amazon called Gateways to Change, mm-hmm. 2018 and Beyond, and it is a resource book of, I call it Navigating Through Life Using Numerology and Astrology. And there are so many books out there now on all these topics. My co-authors and I decided to use nautical terminology to make it fun and entertaining, but it is very accurate. And I just know that you don't have to reinvent the wheel because these systems have been used for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So we're having our first book signing the 2nd of February. And I was wondering what you see for the success of our book.
All right. Hold on a second. I'll bring up the 2nd of February.
Okay, Gloria, while he's bringing that up, give us the book title one more time so all of us can hear it.
Gateways to Change, 2018 and Beyond. And it's Navigating Through the Seas of Life Using Numerology and Astrology.
Okay.
And so what we have in the... Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Now, I was just going to give you a quick little rundown, Gloria. I assume you know your chart because you work with astrology. You're 0 degrees Aries, which is the world point. It's a very, very powerful placement. And you have Mercury conjunct Venus in opposition to Neptune. That makes you very spiritual. And it can make you extremely... I like the word intuitive rather than psychic because it's so misunderstood.
Yeah.
Let's say it makes you very, very intuitive. And you have the ability with that to reach a place where the collective can understand it. I will tell you one thing. I've written about 8 or nine novels by now. Three of them have been published, and I've been a songwriter my whole life. And you don't necessarily make a lot of money writing.
That wasn't my intent.
No, I understand. I understand. But that's my point, is that that's not how we decide what's successful and what isn't in life. Some people do,
right.
Of course. You know, Dorothy Parker wrote it perfectly many years ago. She said, "I hate writing, but I love having written." To me, that says it for all writers. It's very, very difficult. You finally give birth to this book that's, you know, it's like you've been in labor for 2-3 years and you finally get the book out. Anyway,
yeah.
Things don't look bad for you. In fact, you're on an upswing. Now, again, I can't guarantee you're going to become immensely wealthy and you're going to be James Patterson. We all would like that. But you have Saturn at the top of your chart by transit now. And it's going to go into your 10th house, not for another year. But that's okay, because when the book comes out, first of all, when the book comes out in February, when you do your first book signing, well, that's just, you know, happy birthday. Now the real work starts. Now you have to go on to Amazon and sign up for all of these little things where they, you know, every time somebody punches in a certain word, your book comes up and all the rest of that kind of stuff. It's a nuisance. But, you know, these days, even publishing companies don't do anything for your book. So you have to do it all yourself. They expect you to go out and do all the book signings and book fairs and all the rest of this. And it's quite the, you know, quite a difficult thing. Anyway, so in 2021, Saturn will go up into your 10th house. I tried to get my murder mysteries published for several years, and I wrote two of them before, just as Saturn entered my 10th house. I got my publishing deal with a very respected publisher. And I published 1, 2, 3, bing, bang, boom, one after another. And that's when I started going out coast to coast. I started getting recognized better as an astrologer. I was invited to the United Astrologers Conference. All this stuff started to happen for me. And because Saturn rules the 10th and the 11th houses, so several times in our lives, we get an opportunity to have Saturn go up there and start to give us back what we've earned. Saturn will never deny you what you have earned. It will delay things, and it delays them to make sure that you're not making a mistake, to make sure that anyway, Gloria, I'm sorry, we have such a little bit of time. Again, if you'd like to contact me, you know, and further continue the conversation further, work something out, but I just do think that you are on an upswing. And I think that you're doing good work, and that this is actually pretty much what I think you should be doing. Some people make mistakes. They do something, and they're so not. It's so not right for their personality. I don't see that with you.
So, Gloria, I wish you the best on your book. As a fellow author, I understand that it takes a lot of effort and time to get one of those out. And thank you for calling in. For the two of you that we did not get to on this line, Mitch has your information. He knows who you are. If you would write him and just ask one question of him, MitchAstro@AOL.com, I'm sure he'd be happy just to write you back a little something about what
you're doing. I would be happy to do that, Donna. Yes.
So that you don't feel like you've wasted your time hanging on online. So he does have your names. I've emailed it to him. He does know who you are. And for everybody that's listening, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you've enjoyed Mitchell Scott. It's kind of a neat thing when Mitchell Scott Lewis comes on, because he's so expressive and he can give you such detail on everything, and he wants to educate at the same time. Such a pleasure to have you online with us, Mitch.
Thank you so much. I love coming on your show always.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers, and we will be back in a week. Thank you.